Hi, wine and podcast fans. If you're the kind of person who enjoys wine and food experiences with stunning visuals, you'll want to hear this interview as we travel on the wine road. On today's podcast, we visit Ramsgate Winery on the southern tip of the Carneros region. Or if you're heading north from San Francisco, it's the gateway to Carneros and Sonoma. They're perched on a hill high above Highway 121, not far from Sonoma Speedway. This past September, my wife and I were invited to join in their Harvest Boot Camp. What a sensory treat that was. We got to experience their organic garden, the beehives. We learned about their culinary program and, of course, a tour of their winery. That was followed by a 4 or 5 course lunch, which was outstanding. The whole boot camp took about 4 hours. I had planned to go back shortly thereafter to do an interview, but got interrupted by the horrific wine country fires. In early November, we were finally able to get back on track, and it's taken me this long to catch up with my podcasts. By the way, the Northern California wine country has recovered, and we welcome tourists with open arms. At Ramsgate, I met with Managing Director David Oliver and their winemaker Jeff Gaffner to learn more about their history, their incredible wine, and beautiful tasting room and winery facility. I started by asking David how owner Jeff O'Neill came across the property and his vision, and wondered if that vision was what it became or if that evolved over time.
Well, it clearly evolved. The property became available back in 2007, and Jeff O'Neill, along with Jeff Gaffner, our winemaker, surveyed the property and assessed what could be done with it, and ultimately developed the concept for Ramsgate Winery. And what occurred was that, developed out of that, was that not only did we want to be an estate-driven winery, but we felt we had a wonderful opportunity here, being at the gateway to Carneros and Sonoma, to be an education center of sorts. And what flowed from that was we gained access to some really remarkable vineyards, such as Hyde, Hudson, Durrell, and some of Ulysses Valdez's vineyards, offering all of this great fruit. And with Jeff Gaffner's winemaking talent, it became clear that we could produce some really high-quality wines that were unique. And it was from that Jeff pulled together this concept that let's marry great wine, wonderful service, and amazing design, and have this place where you could come and relax and really soak in these great wines and have a full circle experience.
And Jeff, what were you telling me earlier that Jeff O'Neill mentioned to you when he first obtained the property?
So basically, we had several ongoing conversations, and I did a lot of recon in advance of acquiring it. And then I get a phone call from him. I still remember mid-morning, and his comment was, "We got it. Now what the hell are we going to do with it?" And then that's when the conversation started stewing about ideas. And we, you know, and it just became a melting pot. Like, I think to Dave's point, it was sort of evolved. You know, one of the things I always wanted to do for my winemaking career was to, I mean, I love Burgundies anyway, and I like the sort of site-specific Burgundy kind of world. So I kind of started pitching that, trying to talk the boss into it, if you will. And, you know, we sought out, you know, let's be a Chardonnay and Pinot primary producer, based primarily on our geography. I mean, we're around Pinot and Chardonnay, so it made sense. Yeah, sure. And then let's try to sort of focus on site-specific vineyard designate wines. And that probably comes really, honestly, you know, from my love of Burgundy, as well as sort of my early days in my career where I was at Chateau St. Jean, where we made a lot of vineyard designate wines. So I probably sang that song into Mr. O'Neill's ear probably more times than he ever wanted to admit.
Yeah. Well, tell me about some of the, David touched upon it, but some of the highly respected vineyards that you source from.
Well, when we sort of mapped out roughly what we wanted to do, you know, then you quickly get on the phone and you tap into your network. You know, having grown up in Sonoma and been around all these folks for many years in different iterations, I had a pretty short list of people I enjoyed working with, I respected, and they were professional growers. And that, you know, that would be the likes of Durrell, the San Giacomo family, Larry Hyde and his kids, and Lee Hudson, and Ulysses Valdez, who I've known, God, probably, I have no idea how long I've known him. So, you know, you go to the people you know, the people you feel comfortable with. So that, you know, that I had this sort of phone call list, if you will. I started working and massaging them and trying to talk them into letting us come play with their fruit. Even before we had a name. I mean, that was kind of the funny part is that, you know, I'm, you know, hey, you know, and talk to, you know, Bill Price at Durrell or, you know, Larry Hyde, you know, they're like, what are you going to call it? And I'm like, well, hell, we don't know yet, but can we get some of your fruit and get going?
Well, these aren't just relationships that you knew. I mean, obviously you respected them because they either you got really lucky and found some wonderful vineyards. So you knew what you were getting.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Sonoma, so I mean, you know, like you grew up with some of these kids. I've known Bill Price from my days at St. Jean. So you know, like I said, you go with the network you know, and yeah. Then you spin off of that. In the case of, for example, Bush Crispo, you know, I knew Ulysses from other things, and then I see Ulysses, we're looking for a Pinot somewhere, and he goes, hey, I got this great vineyard that actually nobody else really knew about, but I knew the quality of how Ulysses was farming, and I said, okay, let's go look at it. So we ended up sort of taking a flyer on Bush Crispo. So that was sort of experience and relationship where, you know, Durrell, you knew what Durrell was. I mean, Durrell's got a flagship, you know, Hyde's a flagship, Hudson's a flagship, you know, San Giacomo family. There's probably not a better quality family in grape, you know, the grape business and dealing with them. You know, they're, you know, solid handshake kind of people. So you go with those. Yeah.
David, so how did the name come into play? And it makes a lot of sense from what you were talking earlier about it. This is the gateway to Sonoma. And talk about the architect too that designed this incredible structure.
Certainly. Ramsgate was derived because we are in Carneros. Carneros is Spanish for ram, and the Carneros AVA happens to be contiguous with our property. And so when you're driving Arnold Drive northward and you cross into our property, you're also entering the gateway to Carneros or Ramsgate. And hence, that's how... probably some consultant worked very hard at telling us the somewhat obvious, but good for them.
And the architect was a gentleman from San Francisco, is that what I recall?
Howard Backen was our architect, amazingly talented man. He has offices in Santa Elena and Sausalito, but he does work all over. We really lucked out, getting Howard because he happened to have done work for Jeff O'Neill in the past, and so there was already an established relationship. But also, Howard traveled to his Sausalito office every Wednesday morning and then would return Wednesday evening. And so we would have a standing 7 a.m. meeting with he and the contractor, and Howard would walk through and notice some things. We'd ask for a mock-up, we'd put that together, he'd look at it on the way home, and lo and behold, we'd add one more positive element to this winery.
Yeah, ideal that he would see the surrounding area and just get inspired, I imagine, by driving by all the time.
Exactly. The inspiration for this building was one of the, you know, mimicking an old barn that you would find in Carneros long, long ago. Now, this is Howard's interpretation of an old barn. Yeah.
He laughs because Howard's interpretation is very modern. It's beautifully designed. He's David Oliver, the managing director of Ramsgate Winery. I read that winemaker Jeff Gaffner's desire was to make a wine that truly expresses where it's grown, and not just vineyard to vineyard, but as specific as row by row.
I'm old cork dork. Let's be honest. I think I'm a pretty decent winemaker. And so my goal, I believe is to sort of take you there as a, you know, the consumer of the product, if you will. So I want it to be a site specific wine. So, you know, my job is not to sort of drive every wine into a round peg and I'm not probably saying this correctly, but what I really want to do is to sort of take you there. You experience it, you know, the Durrell vineyard, for example, has certain site signatures, or Gap's Crown is a good example. Gap's Crown, its site signature is that sort of baked cherry characteristic. So my job is to capture that and then bring it here and then make the wine express its site. And so that's really sort of my geeky passion. And that comes from my love of Burgundies especially.
And we were talking about this being Burgundian varieties in this area, in Carneros specifically. But I understand here on the estate, you have 7 different varieties grown here.
Yeah, it's maybe a little ADD as we try to figure out our campus. When we developed it, there was just some Syrah, some Merlot, and some Pinot. We recognized quickly that the Syrah and Merlot were in decline and weren't particularly nice fruit. So we immediately removed those, started replanting. We assessed the Pinot that was here and realized it may have some potential. I honestly don't know what clone it is. I have suspicions of what the clonal mix-up is, but I'm not 100% sure, and nobody has records. So we sort of massaged that vineyard to get the best we could out of it as we learned about our campus. So it became sort of that little block of Pinot Noir was almost our R&D block as we understood what we could do here and what we wanted to do. The other thing is, which if you come out here in the front on the fault line vineyard, that was our sort of Crazy Jeff's other R&D, is that we have multiple clones just within that Chardonnay block of different clonal mixes in a way to assess the campus, assess what does really, really well. And I learned a lot from it. I mean, I've been doing this 35 years and you learn something every day. That block probably taught me as much as anything about Chardonnay because of all the different clonal mixes, but also how they perform in an environment that doesn't get really, really cold in wintertime. We're so close to the San Pablo Bay, we don't see the as cold. So the rootstocks get started sooner. And so it taught me something about some what I would normally consider cooler climate, late ripening clones, such as Root or Seas, actually are pretty amazing here. And it kind of blew my mind. So I'm sorry I'm digressing and bouncing around, but that's kind of the geeky, exciting part about this campus is it's unlike anything else I've ever dealt with in my career. So the learning curve is pretty steep.
So just aside from the different clones, you have other varieties as well, though.
Yeah, so we've got, you know, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Syrah, Grenache, Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Blanc. And then we have clone mixes all within that. One of the wines that really kind of, I find kind of was a great, wonderful surprise, and I love Alsatian wines as well, was the Pinot Blanc. That thing kind of, it taught me a lot about the site and actually challenged me as a winemaker. And it's really something unique that I don't know that anywhere else in California that I can come across that there's a Pinot Blanc like that. And again, that's learning a lot about the site. So it taught me a lot about, you know, about the site. Probably of any single variety probably taught me more.
It's great to have that challenge, huh?
Yeah,
I appreciate
it's
fun. That. One of the attractive features here at the winery is those 5-ton oak fermentation tanks you have. And I understand those were specifically designed for Ramsgate?
Yeah, there are. You know, I was trying to explain this to somebody once before. It's like, and maybe it makes sense because a couple of our owners are into luxury high-end sports cars, but they are like the little, you know, fancy old antique Ferraris. They're pretty cool. They do take a lot of TLC because they're higher maintenance. You know, because it's oak. I mean, you have to make sure it doesn't dry out. There's a bigger dance with them, but they perform in a way that you can't simulate anywhere else. And so that kind of gives us sort of another, you know, tool in my basket from a winemaker standpoint.
So, David, when I was here in late September, I had the extreme pleasure of getting to experience what you guys called the Harvest Boot Camp. And I'd been to Ramsgate before, but I never quite experienced every aspect of what you offer here. And what really impressed me was how much you put into your culinary program here.
Yeah, Jeff. Well, as with every element of the Ramsgate winery experience, it all starts with wine. And we believe that Jeff makes some really lovely, balanced, food-friendly wines. And early on, the decision was made, well, how do you really prove that up? And one way is obviously to provide tasting cards that would have recipes and so forth. But to take it to the next level, like many things here, we brought in a talented culinary team that's headed by Taylor Benham, our culinary director. And we have a kitchen that allows us to provide food pairings, wine pairings, that are very, very thoughtful and matched up to each and every wine. And that's not a process that we take lightly. We taste the wines early on and then over time and ultimately get to a point where we've developed a dish through trial and error and tasting amongst the culinary team, as well as we have a group of approximately 6 certified sommeliers that all get involved and actually have a lot of fun doing that.
I was just going to say, I bet you enjoy being a part of that.
Absolutely. You need to hit the gym more often around here than before, just as a result. But what's really cool about it is that everybody's into it, and we're all striving for the same goal, is to really respect those wines by creating a dish that complements it and enhances it. And again, our culinary director, Taylor, really looks at each component of the wine and thinks about how can I match that component in a food pairing. Yeah.
And, you know, from your garden to the cheese providers, even the beehives you have here, they come up with some clever, tasty ingredients for the platters that you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you mentioned, we've got an organic culinary garden, we've got hives, and we also have some really great local foragers that we rely on. Don't get me wrong, there's been some wonderful disasters in the R&D stage, but we've had some fun pulling out of that and ultimately getting to, you know, what we believe to be part of a really great experience.
Well, from the beautiful scenes, the stunning architecture, and the exceptional wine and food here, as the website says, Ramsgate is the place to press pause, to stop and savor what we love most. And you two are in enviable positions here.
Yeah. It's an honor to be here. It's a responsibility that we don't take lightly to create something that's not only unique, but raises the bar each and every day. It's fantastic to see people come in and spend 2-3 hours really getting into the wines with their wine guide and the food pairings and having those discussions and touring them through the winemaking process. And so they leave not only having enjoyed wine, food pairing, but learning a whole lot more about both.
Jeff, any new plans in the works?
No. I mean, just not get old fast. No, I mean, we're always trying. Like this year, we made some modifications in the cellar, bought pump over regimes, and just I'm always trying to look for the next mousetrap or the next bell and whistle. So we've got some things that we're going to work on. We did some trials this year about, accelerating our pump overs early to get a more elegant extraction. So, there's always something you want. I'll just point blank say I've probably only had two perfect wines in my life, and I didn't make them, but I want to make one. So I find myself in this sort of consumption about trying to find a better way all the time. And I think that's why I like what I do. I'm always trying to be better at it.
Well, I'd say from the wines I've tasted, you are certainly very close to perfection.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
At this point, as I often do at the end of an interview, I asked if there was anything else they'd like to offer. And after a short conversation, David did have a thought. My recorder was still rolling. He started talking about it, so I just let him go. I'll play it back for you now, which may give you a feeling of being a fly on the wall.
You know, the only other thing you asked the question about what else, I don't know if it's of interest to you or your listeners about the Collector's Trust program that we were mentioning the other day, only because it's sort of like the deepest membership tier here where you actually get to feel like a proprietor. I don't know if you remember those, you get a vine row and things like that, and you get to spend time with him. But it's the pinnacle of what we offer. It's our attempt to make you feel like an actual owner of a winery without that capital investment. But
that's a unique opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, we had a dinner, whatever it was, 2 Saturdays ago, and it was basically Jeff and myself hosting the party, and it was a blowout. We focused on the 2012 vintage, and Chef spent enormous amount of time doing the pairings, and as Jeff O'Neill said, I know this is kind of crazy, I spent all these millions on this place, and you get to feel like you own it, but he goes, that's us. We want to share, right? It's not a museum. It's or a library. I should say it's for you to use.
Is it just a different level of membership?
Yeah, but it's a much different level. Jeff makes 2 wines specifically. Those 2 wines only go to that group.
Offering that opportunity epitomizes their desire, as David suggested, to really make you feel like you belong. And when you visit and do a wine or wine and food pairing,
They don't want you to feel rushed. They'd like you to take the time to soak up the experience, the views, and all that Ramsgate has to offer. And you can see what they offer at ramsgatewinery.com. I'm Jeff Davis. Thanks for joining me on The Wine Road.